Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Lord, I thank you for the word that you've laid on my heart. When I stand here, God, I am conscious of how needful I am of your grace and your unction, your anointing. If all I do is get up here and share out of my own intellect and my own study, then it only touches the soul. But when your Spirit comes and anoints, it touches our spirit, touches our lives. God, I don't want to just move emotion. I want you to transform lives. So we look to you, Lord, and ask that your Holy Spirit would take this word and allow it to be expounded in a way that makes sense, that is clear and understandable, feeds your people, and helps move us forward in our journey in Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled this morning's message, Sign Language. I think now you figured out why I asked Carla to do what she did. One type of language is the American Sign Language, which I think you used, right? The American Sign Language. This fall, in September, at our missions convention, we're going to have Kevin and Carla Babin with us. I had a chance to chat with them via Messenger, and they are excited to come be with us. They are missionaries to the deaf, and so they use sign language to communicate their message with those with whom they serve. Now, on your way here today, I noticed that nobody lives here. You all traveled here, right? Yeah, sometimes I think that. But you traveled here, and so therefore, you were using a language from, I believe it would be the Department of Transportation, right? Did you not pass signs? And those signs meant things. You ignore them. How many tickets do you have, buddy? No. Sign language. So what I want to do for the benefit of our young people who are with us, we've got some kids here. This is the last week of our set-aside where we're doing 6-week sabbatical for our kids' church workers. They'll start in again next week with kids' church. But I've tried to take the services and integrate them and make them entire church family-friendly. So I'm going to need some help. And because I want to give the kids a chance to jump out first with these, I'd like to ask, if you know the answer, don't just blurt. Let's have you raise your hand so we can get as many people as possible. I have traffic signs behind me, and I want to see how many of you can identify them. Okay, young Verderbers, what's the first sign behind me? Yes, sir. Yep. No U-turn. Okay, that means if you're driving, it doesn't let you turn around and go back the other way. What's the next one? No turning which way? No left turn. Excellent. Where's Johnny? What's the next one? No parking. Okay, now we got a few kids. We'll open it up to a few more. What do we got? Oh. Hey, Mark, we got this one for you, buddy. Would you repeat that one more time? Legal to hunt deer off the side of the road. No, what does it actually mean? Deer crossing. How many of you heard the actual story of a lady that called into a radio show? She called in, she was all upset because there kept being accidents with these deer crossing. And she goes, why'd they put the sign there? Those deer keep getting killed. They should put the sign somewhere else. And she actually was serious. She meant it. Quite amazing. Okay, what's the next one? Who's got one? Hannah, what do you got? What is it? Hospital. We know that sign well because we saw it last week up at St. Peter's. We kept following it. So what's the next one? On this side. Let's get one on this side. Yes, sir. Railroad crossing. We had that for us today when we came down the Warnerville cutoff. As we came down Route 10, we went Warnerville cutoff and we saw the railroad crossing sign. Next. Oh, you guys want another one? Go ahead. What do you got? Oh, that's a trick one. Eileen's got it. merging traffic. You'll see those when the lanes are coming together like that. Good. How about the next one? Well, what do you got? Construction zone. Yeah, just so you know that if you speed in one of those, it'll really cost you. Not that I know from personal experience. Next one. You're wrong. Beer Tolerum. What do you got? Twisty, winding road. Excellent. Okay, let's get some older citizens here to tell us what they see. What's this one? You're not older. Okay, Dave Garner says it's a stop sign. Next up. Yield. And I'm going to save the last one for Mr. Colashan. Eric? Liz, do not enter. Now, what I find interesting is those last three did not include any words. There was no STOP in the red octagon. There was no word yield in the red and white triangle. And there was no do not enter. And yet you knew what those signs meant. That's because we assign meaning to signs. And it's agreed upon these are what the signs mean. Even if there's no words up there, if I put up a blue octagon, you wouldn't have said stop. If I took a red triangle and put it the other way and then over to the right made a white triangle, you just see a couple triangles. If I took a white horizontal rectangle and had a circle, red circle somewhere, you go, oh, okay, that's a white horizontal rectangle. But when we put them together in that way as a sign, now when Carla did her sign language, I don't know how many of you saw her go like this and then go like this. Okay? In sign language, you know, there's, let's see if I remember, A, B, C, D, E. Okay, well, I'm good for five letters. So here's the deal. This is the L. And going like this is a sign for Lord. It, like the a king or something, they would have the ribbon across their chest, sash. Right? The only reason that means that is because everyone's agreed that's what that means. Okay? The signs have meaning because we give meaning to the signs. Why is it that a red and white triangle have a meaning? Because that's what we say it means. Or whoever designed it, they say that's what it means. Now, there's another thing about signs. Not only do they have meaning because we assign meaning to them, the signs in and of themselves aren't our destination. Take a look at the sign behind me. If you've ever been up in Albany, there's a sign that tells you which way to go for 787, north or south. Now, I tell you this, I've driven by that sign. No way when I've driven by have I ever seen anybody building a shrine at the bottom of the sign to worship the sign. There's not incense rising up. They haven't killed a deer next to that thing. Okay? Here's the deal. You use that if you live in Troy and Cohoes, you want to know which way is north on 787 if you're in Albany because that's where you want to go. Your destination is important. The sign just helps you get to your destination. You want to go to South Albany? You go south to 787. Again, the signs have meaning because we say they have meaning, and the signs aren't the end. They're a means to an end. In the Bible, God uses sign language. Oh, it's not American Sign Language, and he doesn't necessarily, obviously, use traffic signs, but he uses signs nonetheless. Flip over to the book of Genesis, chapter 9. Yesterday, we were at the house. We're blessed this weekend. Our son David is back from college with his young lady friend, girlfriend, Samantha. We're glad that she is here. They are adorable together. Just saying. They're so sweet together, you almost feel like you need an insulin shot. But they're. But in Genesis 9, I bring them up because last night I was in the house and I got this call, Ray, come on out. And when I went outside on the porch, I looked up and there was this most gorgeous rainbow. Don't know how many of you saw the rainbow, but that rainbow is a sign. In chapter 9 of Genesis, here's what the Lord says in verse 12. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations. This is the sign. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember." So the rainbow then becomes a sign testifying to us that God isn't going to destroy the earth by a flood. Another sign over in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. This is the institution of the Passover. And God has the Israelites take blood from the Passover lamb that they killed, and they were put to blood where? On each side of the door and above. Now imagine if you've got the blood on the side, the blood on the top, and that blood starts dripping down. What does that form? A cross. So here's what God says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. "On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." It's a sign pointing beyond itself to the cross in which God himself paid the price for our sin. Another one you're familiar with, I'm sure, in Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Over in Ezekiel, Ezekiel did an action that became a sign. Look at this in verse 1. "Now son of man, take a clay tablet, put it in front of you, and draw the city of Jerusalem on it. Then lay siege to it. Erect siege works against it, build a ramp up to it, set up camps against it, put battering rams around it. Then take an iron pan, place it as an iron wall between you and the city, turn your face toward it. It will be under siege and you shall besiege it. This will be a sign to the house of Israel." God gave them the sign that he was going to destroy Jerusalem, which he did. How many of you have ever seen the Charlie Brown Christmas? Remember the lioness? "And this shall be a sign unto you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." Luke 2:12, another sign. God uses sign language. He doesn't just talk his message. He also signs his message visually so that we get a glimpse, a picture of what he's doing. And in our text, the one I just read from John chapter 20, Jesus did many other miraculous signs. One of the things in the Gospel of John is John doesn't put a lot of miracles. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have a lot of miracles. Jesus healing the sick, casting out demons, cleansing the leper, raising the dead. John has 7 miracles. But he doesn't use the word to describe them as miracles. He calls them signs. They were not simply, "Hey, look, I can raise the dead. Lazarus is alive." Or "the nobleman's son is healed," or "the man at the pool of Bethesda is restored," or "I can multiply fish." They were signs pointing to something. They were telling us that this Messiah, this Jesus is the Messiah who has power over death, has power over disease, has power over nature, has power over sin. All of these things are seen with the purpose, according to this John 20 passage, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So in light of that, I want to tell a story today in sign language. And I need help. Verderbers? Johnny, come on up. I need some help. Guys, can I have a seat? Now, I know that your parents have told you that in church you're respectful, you don't shout out unless you're worshiping or whatever, and I don't want to disregard their commands to you. At the same time, I want you to help me preach this message. So here's how you're going to do it. As I'm preaching, signs are going to show up there. When they do, and you see them, I want you to shout out that sign. So if for some reason you would, or for example, you happen to see a stop sign, you're going to go, stop! Can you do that? Let's practice. Count of three. Say the word stop. One, two, three.
Stop! That's all you got.
We'll try one more time. One, two, three.
Stop!
Okay. So I'm going to need your help, okay? Now, if there's not a new sign, you don't shout. You listen. Okay? So here we go. So I want to tell a story. It's one that I've told a couple of times over the last few weeks because I'm trying to reinforce the truth of this story. So our story begins way back in the beginning with Adam and Eve. And God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden. And I will give you signals so you'll know when to go. So don't worry. Placed them in the Garden of Eden, and it was paradise. It was incredible. But God gave them a command. And the command was, is you can eat of every tree in the garden except one. You're not allowed to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of evil, it's going to lead to a
dead end.
Do you think Adam and Eve listened to God? No, they didn't. They ate the fruit. And as a result, God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, and he put a big angel cherubim there with a flaming sword. And basically what it was is he put a sign up, and the sign said, they weren't allowed back into the Garden of Eden. Now, you would think that Adam and Eve would have learned their lesson, like, wow, I probably shouldn't do that again. And that you would think they would want to teach their kids what they should and shouldn't do. But it didn't take long for Cain to kill Abel and for Adam's descendants to get so bad that the whole world was filled with sin and evil. In fact, it says that everyone's thought was wrong. In other words, they were going the
wrong way.
That's right. And so God says, but God found Noah. And Noah had favor in God's sight. And God said to Noah, I want you to build me an ark. Now, as best we can understand, it was about 100 years that Noah built that ark. And according to the New Testament, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, which means he wasn't just building, he was telling people, there is a
storm ahead.
And the reason he did this is he wanted the people to repent because God said,
permitted.
A U-turn is permitted. You can repent and turn. But do you think those people listened? Nope. And guess what happened? They found the
dead end,
and they all perished. They all died. So you would think that Noah and his family would want to make sure that their kids don't repeat that problem. But it didn't take long before there was a problem again. Here's what happened. God said to Noah and his family and his descendants, I want you to repopulate the earth. I want you to spread out and be fruitful, multiply. But did they do that? Nope. They stayed together. Now, there's a term that we use as adults. It's called loitering. They hung around. Well, I got to tell you, here's what God said. And that's exactly what happened. God came down, he confused their languages and spread them around the world. They couldn't understand each other. All right? So following that, God decides to go and find a man. His name was Abram. Abram was a good guy. He wasn't a perfect guy, but he was a man of faith. And God said, I'm going to bless you, Abram. I'm going to bless you, make you a blessing. And so God blessed him with a kid, Isaac. God blessed Isaac with a kid, Jacob. God blessed Jacob with a lot of kids. 12 boys and a girl, and they ended up selling their brother into slavery in Egypt. It certainly didn't look very nice for Joseph, but God was getting Joseph in position of authority and power to be able to protect the Israelites. And God ended up bringing Israel out of bondage with Moses and brought them into the wilderness, to Mount Sinai, where he gave them the Ten Commandments, he gave them the tabernacle, he gave them the worship sacrifices. And he says, okay, it's time to
enter
the promised land. But you know what they did? They didn't listen. They said, it's too hard. We can't do it. We'll get beat up. They're too big. And so God said, fine. He said that whole generation wasn't allowed to enter. Instead, what happened? Another dead end. Now, the next generation went into the promised land under Joshua, and they did pretty well. You know, they tried to do it God's way. They tried to
keep right.
That's right. They kept trying to do what was right, and they did pretty well, except they had kids, and those kids didn't listen. Those kids went the
wrong way.
And guess what happened? They ended up with
dead
end again. Is this starting to sound really familiar? The same story keeps repeating itself over and over again. And that story really does repeat itself throughout the entire Old Testament. And God keeps trying to reach them. He sent them prophets that said,
stop
doing what you're doing. Stop the immorality. Stop the idolatry. Stop the murder and killing. But you know what they did? They kept going the
wrong way.
And the prophet said, there's a no. No. No, the prophet said there's a judgment's coming. Remember we saw the sign of Ezekiel? The sign of Ezekiel where there's a storm coming. Now, God wanted them to repent. He wanted them to turn around because a U-turn is permitted. And he wanted them to be righteous to. But what did they end up doing? They ended up finding another dead end. Pretty sad story. And then we jump ahead and we get to the New Testament and God says, I'm coming. I'm going to come to planet Earth. Because see, God gave us a sign. This shall be a sign to you. You shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And God brought this sign and this baby Jesus grew up and you know what he preached? He says, repent. Why? Because U-turns. He wanted people to turn and go around the other direction. And he told people that he was the door for the sheep. He was the bread of life. He was the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, he was the back to the Father. And he wanted us to yield our lives to him. And when we yield our lives to him, we experience salvation. We experience what the sign said in John 20, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, it's exciting when you come to know Jesus as Savior. God forgives you of your sins. You begin a brand new life. And it looks like, man, this is great, except you're going to run into a in the road. And when you do, it's only because there's a because God wants to work in you. And those bumps in the road, those trials that we face, are God's way of developing his character in our lives. Because he wants us to. Did I leave one out? Can you bring it up? Is it possible? See if we can get that up there. I did. That was a late add-on to you. Is it there? He wanted us to merge. See, God's plan is this. He wants us to line up more and more with his life. And he wants other believers to join together in this one body of believers in Christ. Now, I don't want you to think that the Christian life is always going to be hardship and difficulty. There are some rest areas of refreshing where God renews you and helps you become strong and move forward. Now, there are times, though, when you're on this Christian journey that the road gets a little twisty and you wonder, am I on the right path or not? Good news. God has a GPS. And the GPS is the Bible and the Holy Spirit. We have a map, and the Holy Spirit says to us, according to Isaiah, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right or to the left, here's the voice of the Lord saying, walk ye in it. And if you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give generously to all without finding fault. Now, as you do this journey in life, if Jesus doesn't come back in your lifetime, eventually you're going to exit this life. But if you've trusted Jesus, eventually you're going to end up in this place behind me, at the celestial city. Yeah. See, God's desire is to get us to be with Him forever. And this whole journey of life, all of these signs that God gave us, is to get us to the place where we're with Him. Listen to what Revelation says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this. I'll be his God, and he'll be my son. My hope from this point on is as you get older, and for all those of us who are already old enough to drive, that when the next time you see a stop sign, you'll think, wait a minute, Lord, is there anything in my life I'm doing I need to stop that doesn't please you? And that when you drive and you see a yield sign, you say, Lord, I want to make sure my life is yielded to yours. And when you find yourself seeing emerging, Lord, am I coming together with other believers in oneness to do what you want me to do? And you see a rest area, it reminds you that you take his yoke upon you, you learn from him, for he's meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That you pass an exit sign, you say, Lord, when it's my time to exit this world, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. When you see dead ends, you say, ho, ho, I'm not going down that road. Spiritually, because I want to do what God wants. See, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when you see that dead end sign, you say, you know what? No way, devil, not me. I'm going to keep right. And if I blow it, I'm going to make a U-turn, and I'm going to get back right with you. I want those signs, not just now, but those signs ahead to teach a point, because God's signs, he uses sign language to make a point. And I'm hoping that those signs will make a point by his Spirit. If ever you get confused, trust God's GPS. Look to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and it will help you know what you need to do. Because God's ultimate goal is to get you with him forever and ever. Does that make sense? Lord, thank you for your Word. Creative way to help us understand this message of redemption. From Genesis to Revelation, created in your image, to be in relationship with you and to reflect your glory. Lord, we don't want to go the wrong way. We see the sign that says, do not enter. This is not good. Bridge out, so to speak. We want to go the right way. We want to keep right with you through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. We want to yield our lives and trust you with everything that we have. And to know that, Lord, as we walk through this life and we hit those bumps, it's just your construction zone. We hit the windy path. We have your wisdom that we can make it to the celestial city on this journey of life and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go on your journey to the celestial city. God bless.